It's 28 minutes after 5 o'clock. You're listening to The Roadhouse here on WTIP Community Radio. We're joined on the phone now by Eric Wiefering. He is a business columnist for the Star Tribune down in the Twin Cities. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Ann.
How are you?
I am doing well.
Thanks.
Trying to stay cool.
I was going to say, wishing you were here.
Wishing we were there. With a big leg out the front.
Exactly. It's 67 at the Grand Marais Harbor right now. So. Anyway, thanks for joining us this evening. We wanted to talk to you because of an announcement that Delta Airlines made recently about they're planning to discontinue or talking about discontinuing service at 24 airports, smaller airports around the country. Can you tell our listeners exactly what that announcement said?
Sure. Delta inherited all of these routes when it bought Northwest Airlines. So these are routes that date back to Northwest and even in some cases Republic Airlines and Ozark Airlines.
Oh, wow.
You know, going way back to the 70s. And what Delta basically said was, we are losing too much money on these routes to continue to serve them. There are 24 of them, and I think Delta said they were losing $14 million a year on these. And all of these routes are served by their smallest and oldest planes, these 34-seat turboprop planes, and they are replacing those planes with larger jets. And those larger jets are even less economical because there are more seats than those smaller planes. And so they didn't outright say, we're going to stop flying to 24 of these cities. They said, we're going to have to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is some they will stop flying to altogether. Some of the cities will be picked up by another airline. And in some cases, Northwest or Delta, I'm sorry, said they'd be willing to continue flying to some of the cities if the government increased the subsidy that it pays to, I think they said, 8 or 9 of these cities. And so 16 of these cities are served by Delta. They get a government subsidy to fly to and from these cities.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of them, they just have no interest in flying and serving anymore at all. Thief River Falls is one of them that they want to get out of entirely. And then International Falls and Hibbing were also, there are three subsidized airports or routes in Minnesota, and they are Thief River Falls, International Falls, and Hibbing.
Mm-hmm.
And one airline, Great Lakes Aviation, has said that it would be interested in picking up the International Falls service. But Hibbing and Thief River Falls are sort of hanging out there right now with no one saying that they want to serve.
Sure. Eric, can you tell us a little bit about that federal subsidy? It's called the Essential Air Service Program. Is that correct?
Right. And it was created back in 1978 when the airline industry was deregulated. And Congress wanted to make sure that some cities didn't lose their air service right away. And so it was envisioned as a 10-year program, and the total budget at the time was about $7 million. But it has expanded over the years, and it's now $200 million a year. It's actually quadrupled since 2001. And so the payments to some of these cities are really pretty extraordinary. In the case of Thief River Falls, for example, it amounts to almost $500 of subsidy for every passenger that Delta Airlines carries out of Thief River Falls. And most of this flying is done by Mesaba Airlines for Delta. But that's the thing. And it those subsidies, you know, if you're flying from Thief River Falls, it's not cheap to fly from Thief River Falls. So the airfares are very high anyways. And then when you factor in the subsidy, it just tells you how costly it is to fly from these smaller communities and why Delta wants to get out of some of these markets.
Right. So you, I understand, too, that there have been a move afoot in Congress over the years to dismantle that program.
Yes, many times. President Clinton tried to kill it. President Carter even tried to kill it. Both President Bushes tried to kill it. And in February, Senator John McCain introduced a measure that would kill it outright as well. And that lost. And now the House introduced a measure that would scale it back a little bit basically tighten the standards for what becomes an essential air service community. It would not have a big effect. I think the number I saw is that 10 to 12 cities would fall off the list, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But right now there are over 100 cities on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them are in Alaska, but there are many in the lower 48 as well. But there is a very strong coalition of Republican and Democratic lawmakers who want to protect these subsidies because... Well, they don't like taking money away from their districts,
mm-hmm.
But these communities argue that the subsidies are really important for as an economic development tool.
Well, yeah, and that brings me to my next question. I think there have been some smaller markets in Minnesota that have lost scheduled air service over the past years. And do you have a sense of what has happened there? I mean, how that has affected the economy?
Right. Those cities have not... shriveled up and blown away. I spoke to the city manager in Fairmont, Minnesota, down in southwestern Minnesota, and they lost their EAS subsidy and then air service about a decade ago. And they were very, very concerned, the business community especially, and it has had zero impact. In fact, the airport has expanded since regular passenger service went away. As the city manager said to me, you know, the reason there weren't enough people using it to have such a big economic impact when it ended. So the airport has actually expanded. There's a lot more corporate flying into the airport. Fergus Falls at one time had scheduled air service. It does not. Mankato used to have scheduled air service. It does not anymore. Worthington does not anymore. And most of these cities, and this is kind of, you know, the dirty little secret of the EAS program, is that a lot of the cities that qualify are within a reasonable distance of a bigger airport. In the case of Thief River Falls, for example, it's about 50 to 60 miles away from Grand Forks, where there are more planes, more carriers serving already. And when you look at the numbers traveling out of these markets, it looks like a lot of consumers are already getting in their car and driving to bigger airports because there just aren't that many people flying. And in the case of Thief River Falls, it's an average of four people on each flight. And yet taxpayers are sending about $1.25 million there every year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there are more than four people a day flying, more than four people a day getting... from Thief River Falls who are flying, but they're probably driving to a bigger airport where they get more flights and cheaper fares.
Sure. Now, I understand that the bill that's being considered in the House and Senate now, that actually our representative here in Cook County, Chip Kravac, is one of the co-sponsors?
He is, and which is a little bit of a surprise. And I did speak to some of the airport officials in northern Minnesota, and they, of course, are... not terribly happy about this because Representative Kravac's predecessor, Jim Oberstar, was, of course, he was a very powerful figure when it came to transportation in general and air transportation in particular, and he was, I think, very protective of the airports in his district. I think Representative Kravac, and I did try to talk to someone in his office about this, but was unsuccessful. But he just sees this as part of an effort to kind of rein in some of the federal spending, which is the platform he ran on. But, yeah, it's pretty unusual. And they have, I know airport officials have met with him and tried to make their case, but they've told me they've had no luck kind of swaying his decision on this.
Okay. Do you have any sense of the business future of the Duluth Airport at all? We were talking earlier about, you know, people from our area often fly out of Duluth or Thunder Bay,
right.
Ontario.
Yeah. Yep. Duluth last year was, I think, their third best year ever, and that airport appears to be doing really well. In 2009, late in 2009, United Airlines came back to Duluth, and so you can now fly from United on United to Chicago and get connecting flights on the United network. And Allegiant Airlines also serves out of Duluth, and that will take leisure travelers or vacationers to places like Las Vegas and Orlando, Florida. And the effect of that has been that the number of people traveling out of Duluth has gone up pretty dramatically, and average fares have also fallen. And, of course, Delta is there with flights to the Twin Cities and as well as Detroit. So You know, it's only three airlines, but the Duluth Airport has seen a very large spike in the number of people traveling. Now, that said, you know, the number Duluth gets about 300, and I think they had about 310,000 people traveling to and from its airport last year, and in the Twin Cities, it's 35 million.
Oh. So, wow.
You know,
so
most people,
1%.
Right, 1%.
Wow.
Yeah, most people in Minnesota, if they want to fly, I think they do still drive down to the Twin Cities because the fares are that much cheaper. They're just so much cheaper. I looked at fares to Boston out of Twin Cities versus, say, out of Hibbing, and it's, you know, it's twice the price to fly from Hibbing to Boston as it is to fly from MSP to Boston. And
right.
Even if you're flying from Hibbing, you got to come to MSP first.
Exactly.
You don't get a nonstop flight.
Mm-hmm. Eric, before we let you go here, I'm wondering how you said that there was some sort of waiting period for Delta or 90-day notice, or can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. For these EAS cities, and there are two other cities in Minnesota that may lose scheduled air service because of this, and that's Brainerd and Bemidji. They do not get subsidies, and unless someone else steps in to pick up those routes, they could suddenly find themselves without air service. But for the EAS cities, technically Delta has to give 90-day notice. And that is, that allows the FAA or the Department of Transportation to go out and find another airline that may want to pick up this contract. If they don't find another, and as I mentioned, Great Lakes Aviation has said it's interested in international falls. If they don't find a carrier, the way I understand the statute is the FAA could require Delta to continue serving those markets at least until the expiration of the contract.
Okay.
Which these are typically two-year contracts. I don't know that they would force Delta to do that, especially when you look at, especially for something like the Thief River Falls market. And I don't want to pick on Thief River Falls, but it is the single worst market for Delta Airlines. So it's unclear to me what will happen at that 90 days if no one steps forward for Hibbing, for example, or Thief River Falls, whether the FAA will require Delta to continue doing it until the end of the contract or not.
Okay, well, we'll just keep an eye on that. Thank you so much, Eric. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thanks for having me. And the airlines, you know, all of this is, the airlines have been making money the last couple of years, but they're really concerned right now because fuel prices mm-hmm. are going up and the economy seems to be weakening instead of strengthening. And so they're really just kind of going into a defensive mode and cutting costs wherever they can.
Right. So this is one way they're looking at trimming
exactly.
the budget. Okay.
Yep.
Well, Eric, thank you so much. We appreciate you talking with us tonight, and stay cool down there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Anne.
Okay.
Have a good
thank
night.
You.